We have a special gift today for Pentecost that our preacher today is Dr. Larry Wood. And by the way, some of you were really surprised to see me here. I think there was an idea that I wasn't going to be here because you knew Larry was preaching. Anyway, the plan was all along that I was going to be here, and I didn't want to miss hearing Larry preach because that's a blessing. But I was away this past week. Had a wonderful time with my covenant group that I've been a part of since 1980. That's a great blessing. Larry, Presbyterian pastor for many, many years. Most recently served a large church just outside of Atlanta and a number of places around the South before that. If you've not heard Larry before, you'll discover very quickly the moment you hear him that he is a son of the South. But we're blessed to have him here as a part of at least half the year. Every year we get him here. He and Helen kind of roam the country, but during nice weather they're here with us. So Larry, come on up and share the word with us.
I did put out a lot of money and went to a linguist school for 9 months to try to get rid of this drawl. And after 9 months, the professor said, forget it. So, good morning. It's good to be back with you. Helen and I, when we were down in Arizona for most of the 6 months we were gone during the winter, we visited a number of churches, and none of them match the spirit that's in this place. This being Memorial Day, however, we have paused to remember those who have fallen. But I want to remind you that right now, in the Far East, in the Middle East, there is a man or a woman in American uniform facing grave danger right this moment. So bow and pray with me. Surround your child, O God. Protect her, protect him, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts 2. Beginning with verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem. There were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they ask, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Jerusalem, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues, they said. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Let us pray. Pray, O God, that the words I say and the thoughts that are generated in our hearts will be pleasing in your sight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What is the scariest image you have of the Christian faith? What is the scariest image you have of the Christian faith? Is it because you have misinterpreted the gospel, you are worried that God will consign you to hell for eternity? Or is it the influence of the religious right or the radical left in America and in the church? Is it being face to face with a terrorist who wants to take your life because you believe in Jesus? What is the scariest image you have of the Christian faith? Maybe it's the one of whom we speak this morning, the Holy Spirit. I want you to think about that. I want you to really think about that. Engage your minds about the Holy Spirit. We've been singing and praying about the Holy Spirit now for an hour. This is Pentecost Sunday in the Christian church, the day we celebrate, as has been noted, the gift of the Holy Spirit. But are we really thankful for that gift? When is the last time you got by yourself and you prayed, "Oh God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon me. Fill me and let me explode with the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me be on fire for Jesus." When's the last time you prayed? That's a scary prayer, isn't it? And I bet there's not a single person in this room who's ever prayed that prayer, honestly. My suspicion is we're a lot like a lot of mainline Christians who believe in the Holy Spirit but don't want a whole lot to do with it. We all want power. Let's be honest with each other. We all want power, but we're not all real sure we want to be transformed and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, I know we sang all these songs this morning. We prayed the prayers. But who of us sitting in this room right now wants to be empowered by the Holy Spirit? Who wants this church to be empowered, transformed by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? One reason for fearing the presence of the Holy Spirit is the image in our in the minds of many folk and in our minds of folk who say they have experienced that power. I was preaching in a small church in Mississippi years ago, when a woman stood in the aisle and was slain in the spirit and fell right there on the floor. The strange thing for me was nobody moved to help her. So they just let her lay there. And I'm preaching and I'm looking at this lady there and I hear somebody holler, "Preach on, brother." There she lay. I was once a part of a prayer meeting when one of the men in the group began to speak in tongues. Gibberish I couldn't understand, and it added nothing to that prayer meeting that I knew of. I was also in attendance in a Pentecostal service when it seemed that everyone except me was caught up in some powerful emotional experience. Heads waved and hands waved and heads bobbed and bodies moved, and the preacher never missed a beat. Well, I don't know what I would do if one of you stood up right now and was slain in the spirit right there. Now, I could handle preach on, brother, okay? What I'm trying to say is we have some images of the Holy Spirit's ministry that makes us uncomfortable and even afraid of the Spirit. And there are biblical stories like that too. Sure, we all want power, don't we? But power of the Holy Spirit? I mean, more than just the words and more than just the hymns and more than just the nice little prayers we pray about. Who of us wants to be empowered by the Holy Spirit? We don't know what really happened on that day. We have some verses there in Scripture. We know something very important happened. Something very special happened. But we don't know precisely what. We know the disciples had an experience of God that they never had before. An international crowd was in Jerusalem to celebrate the Jewish holy festival called the Feast of Weeks. Many countries were represented in that crowd. They gathered to give thanks for the giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. It was also a work holiday, so Jewish law prevented anyone from going to work. So we have a festive, happy crowd there chilling out in Jerusalem, sort of like Mardi Gras in New Orleans. On the morning found in our lesson, however, the house where Jesus' disciples were sitting was suddenly filled with this sound, this wind, this ungodly wind. Seemed like a gale that just grew and grew and grew. Did only the disciples hear it, or did others hear it also? We don't know. What we do know is that the Spirit came there in power and fell on those men and transformed them into witnesses that would shake the world. Not only did they hear something, but tongues of fire fell on them. What that looked like precisely, we don't know. We've seen little drawings and pictures in someone's imagination. But we know that the wind and the fire are symbols. Symbols in the Bible that point to power, to God's power. In John 14, Jesus told his disciples that his Father would send the Holy Spirit to them. In John 16, Jesus told them the Holy Spirit would bring glory to him. And in John 20, we read that Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit was repeated on many occasions, but this Spirit baptism recorded in this particular chapter of Scripture was a one-time experience. As far as we know, it never happened again. At least some people maybe claim it does. That Holy experience, that Pentecost experience for the disciples, is a scary one for me. Maybe it is for you also. We really don't want that happen to us, do we? I mean, how many sitting here right now want this room filled with a wind and suddenly fire on everybody's heads? How many of us really want to be just so energized with the Holy Spirit that we can't wait to get out there and tell somebody about the love of Jesus? Which we probably failed to do this week. Some of our fears are based on assumptions and perceptions that are unnecessary and they're false. All kinds of various forms of fear strangle the life out of a lot of people. Fear of flying, fear of heights, fear of animals, all kinds of fears immobilize people. But I suspect fear of the Holy Spirit immobilizes some of us. And so we don't talk about it much. I mean, when we repeat the Apostles' Creed, we say, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, and I believe in the Holy Spirit." We fear experiencing the Holy Spirit because we have some bad information. We don't understand the work of the Holy Spirit. But we all want power, don't we? We want power over the things that enslave us right now. We want power over the things that we fear in the world. We want power over terrorists. We want power. All of us want power. During the Depression years in West Texas, Ira Yates was like a lot of other ranchers and farmers. He had a lot of land and a lot of debt. He wasn't able to make enough on his ranching operation to pay the principal and interest on the mortgage, so he was about to lose his ranch. Day after day, his sheep grazed on those rolling West Texas hills, and he was no doubt deeply troubled that his last day on that ranch was coming soon. And then a seismographic crew from an oil company showed up, told him there might be oil on his land, and asked if they could put down a wildcat well, drill. He signed a contract. At 1,115 feet, they struck oil. Huge oil reserve, 80,000 barrels a day. 30 years later, That same well was producing 125,000 gallons of oil a day. And there was Ira, living on a government subsidy, and he was a multi-millionaire. He didn't even know the oil was there, even though he owned it. And I suspect that you and I are a lot like Mr. Yates. We are heirs of a vast treasure, and yet we often live in spiritual poverty, don't we? We're entitled to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised it. It's our birthright. But we're not sure we're in the Spirit. We don't even know how to get there. Holy Spirit was not given in small measure. It was poured out upon them. And they were filled only after they were empty. Once they were empty, they were filled. That ought to tell us something, friends. They weren't filled with their own agendas. They weren't filled with their own way of doing things, their own plans and schemes and ideas. They were filled to overflowing with the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, but only after they were empty. I have to tell you that some of our fears about the Holy Spirit are well-founded. If you experience the Spirit into your heart and life and receive it with gratitude and allow God to work, God will ask you to give up some stuff. God will ask you to change your behavior in a number of ways. God will give you a passion for Christ you never had before. We all will become like light bulbs when someone flicks that power switch. But most of us don't even know where the switch is. We have fashioned a form of faith with which we are very comfortable. So comfortable, in fact, that we don't have any intention of giving up our comfortable state. We're not about to ask God's Spirit into our lives to change us. We like it the way we are. We're comfortable. Everything's cool. All of us, pastors included, cling to stuff we know is not Christ-centered. But we don't ask for power to change. We just hope there's enough good in us to overcome the bad. Bad theology. How very sad that is. Our children are at risk today. Our culture is seducing us daily. Our world is at war. The number of people in great need is growing every day, and we don't want to change, and we don't want the power of the Spirit. We cannot do what God asks us by our own strength. This church cannot become what we want it to become, what God wants it to become, in its own strength, only by the strength God gives us, the wisdom and the guidance and the power of His Holy Spirit. Are you afraid to ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you? I think some of us are. We're afraid we'll have to give up stuff that we enjoy. We're afraid we'll have to change our behavior. We're afraid maybe we'll even become religious fanatics, talking about Jesus all the time. The guys who gathered in that room and were filled with the Holy Spirit that day had already experienced salvation. That wasn't what the gift of the Spirit was about. The outpouring of the Spirit was not for salvation, but was to empower them for service. They already knew Jesus. They just weren't ready to serve until that Spirit came. If we're going to get into the mission that God has given this church, then we must have some of that power that comes from beyond us, God's power. Even just a little bit. Now here's another thought. It came to me Friday when I was reading Dietrich Bonhoeffer's wonderful little book, Life Together. He writes, only those who give thanks for the little things, only those who give thanks for the little things receive the great things as well. I thought about that because I realized the Spirit was trying to say something to me, and I think this is what he was saying. Larry, don't tell the people Sunday that all of them must exhibit the enormous power of the Holy Spirit. Don't make them feel guilty because they haven't radically changed their lives and suddenly become spiritual giants. That's not your purpose, Sunday. Listening to the Spirit, I realize that most of us have experienced the Holy Spirit. If you have learned to love others, you have experienced the Holy Spirit. If you have become a more giving person, you have experienced the Holy Spirit. If you've grown into a more personal relationship with Jesus so that you know Him, not about Him, you know Him, then you've experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. If you've found yourself really anxious about the culture in which we live, then you've experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're walking more humbly with God, you've experienced the power of God's Spirit. We all want power. What might the Holy Spirit give us if we ask? I think He will give whoever asks an extraordinary giving spirit. I think He will give us a willingness to be used by God however God chooses. I think He will give us a rare courage to risk ourselves for Jesus. I think He will give us a truly selfless servant attitude. I think He will give us a clear vision, this church, into what God wants you to do and be. I think He will give us a great passion for furthering the mission of Christ on this earth. And I think He will give us a stirring desire to lead at least one person to Christ before we lay our heads on the pillow and die. Dan Millman tells of little Sachi. 4 years old. Soon after her little brother was born, she asked her parents to leave her alone with the new baby. The parents were anxious about that, a little worried about that. What if she was jealous of that little baby and she might hurt him? But little Sachi just continued to be loving and kind toward her little brother. And finally, after an urgent plea, the parents finally said, okay. Overjoyed, little Sachi went into the baby's room and closed the door. But as she approached the little brother's crib, there was a crack appeared in the door. Mom and Dad peeping in. And they watched as little Sachi went over to her little brother and whispered, tell me what God is like. I'm beginning to forget. If you're starting to forget what it's like to be in the Spirit, may God take from you that fear. So you can again be empowered in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.